perhaps you've heard some of the jokes about Unitarian Universalism. Here's a few. And this one is not true. Why can't you use sing very well in choirs? Not sure. Because they're always reading ahead to see if they agree with the next verse. UUs are basically good people who, for the most part, try to live by the 10 suggestions. One more. And Dave, I think I heard this one from you. What do you get when you cross a UU with a Jehovah's Witness? Someone who knocks on your door for no apparent reason. It can be healthy and humbling to poke fun at ourselves. It can help us realize who we are and what we might do to be who we want to be. The hope is that our laughter isn't about complacency, right? For do we really want to be the tradition described in those jokes? At one point in her novel, Fly Away Home, Marge Piercy, who's one of my favorite writers, so this is especially heartbreaking, she has one of her characters say of her daughters, "The girls had been raised Unitarian, which seemed a nice, sensible compromise between having no religion at all and having to lie about what we believed. Enough religion to be respectable, but not enough to get in the way." I want a religion that gets in the way, that gets in the way of complacency, of the status quo. I want a faith that upsets the money changers' tables, a faith that topples unjust empires, a faith that roots me, even in rocky times, to the source of life that can sustain me. So today, we'll talk about a serious Unitarian Universalist faith, a lived faith that transforms our lives and the lives of those around us. I know that many of you are already on this path, and it is an ongoing path. The questions you ask propel you to live out your faith in the world in ways courageous and daring, small and large, bringing more justice and love to our world. Years ago, supposedly there was a story in the paper about a seminary professor in Kansas City who was put on trial by the Southern Baptists, accused of being a Universalist. It's no wonder they were suspicious. He had stated publicly his belief that all people born into the world are children of God. And, as if that were not enough, he also supported the ordination of women. Case closed. The professor actually denied the charges. "I'm not a Universalist," he said, and he convinced them. After 4 hours of deliberation, they voted 21-11 to let him keep his job. So I confess to being a Universalist. In fact, I'm a Unitarian Universalist. But I wonder, if I were arrested and charged with being one, would there be enough evidence to convict me? As we discussed last week, faith is not the same as belief. Of course, this man they tried, he had these beliefs, but there was not enough evidence. Even an atheist, sometimes especially an atheist, has faith. Faith is the journey of integrating our deepest commitments and hopes into the ways in which we move through the world. Faith is the courage to be, as the theologian Paul Tillich described it. The courage to be, even in the face of death and despair. The courage to act, even in the face of our limited power. The courage to transform, despite the fears and the risks of change. We often don't evangelize, we use. But the truth is that so many people need Unitarian Universalism. But Unitarian Universalism will never realize its great potential and mission unless we are, in both reputation and reality, serious religious people. And I don't mean that we can't laugh, of course. My colleague Charles Magistro speaks to this point. He says, I'm amused by the view that it's easy to be a Unitarian Universalist. It's as easy to be a Unitarian Universalist as it is to search the murky waters of life without sure charts to guide us or any guarantee that we will find a safe port in which to put down anchor. Our way of religion is not the way of ease. We are called to be sailors, for many worlds exist, waiting to be discovered. And not the least of them is within us. We have only begun to discover our potential. So many Unitarian Universalists are come-outers. We left faith traditions that perhaps insulted our intelligence and even hurt us profoundly. At first, we needed space and time to express anger and eventually grief about what we'd left. We cast off the old practices, communities, and beliefs, the rituals. This stage of faith, as we talked about last week, is often focused on what we don't believe, and sometimes on critiquing others' beliefs. We've embraced freedom, and we've found it exhilarating, but eventually we come back down to earth, and we discover that we need more than just freedom. Freedom, like the air we breathe, is necessary for existence, but is insufficient for nourishment. So you all know that the shorthand for what Unitarians were was that they were didn't believe in the Trinity. So the true Trinity for early Unitarian churches was freedom, reason, and tolerance. So here's an ad that our Midland church put in the paper in 1981. That's cool. So there's our building right there before we added on. So you can see there at the top, freedom, reason, and tolerance. We added understanding, which I think is great. So UU historians say that freedom, reason, and tolerance were like the three legs of the stool of Unitarian Universalism. They got us far. The next slide, Shannon. They got us far and were essential to that part of our tradition's history. But we are a living tradition. And lately, UUs have been reconsidering whether these three are still indeed the core of our faith. Speaking for myself and the current definitions of these words, I do not want a faith based solely on freedom, reason, and tolerance. Together with freedom, we need responsibility, accountability, thus the paradox in our fourth principle, the free and responsible search for truth and meaning. Reason. Reason alone leaves us dry. Thus, our first source, direct experience of that transcending mystery and wonder that goes beyond reason. And then there's that last word in our Trinity, tolerance. I know that back in our history, tolerance was a great radical notion, and it brought us far. But now we know we must go beyond tolerance, beyond I tolerate you, to I see the ways in which we are woven together. And that kind of seeing takes real spiritual practice. In truth, the search for this deeper faith is what brought me to a Unitarian Universalist church for the first time. I had left the tradition of my upbringing. I had gone through 3 years of divinity school, and I still stubbornly resisted joining any religious community. But I soon realized, living on my own and working as a multi-faith chaplain, that it was not working to be out there on my own with the only label as unaffiliated, without any moorings. I sensed I needed the accountability of a tradition and a community. I learned about our Unitarian Universalist seven principles, and at first they looked easy, common sense, almost cliche even. But the more I kept bringing myself fully into that church community, the more I saw more and more opportunities to wrestle with my faith, my deepest truths, the why and how of living. I saw a community that was not perfect, but full of great challenge. People quite different than me, people discussing deep questions and living out their answers through working together in common effort. Reluctantly, at first, I joined that new church, even though it wasn't perfect, because no human institution is perfect. And here we are now, Midland UUs, working together to be the church beyond our walls. Last year, as you might remember, actually I don't even think it was last year, I think it was January, we discussed as a church our calling to do something together in this community, something that the community needed and that only we as a church in Midland could do. In the last few months, I have seen us do that. Over the summer, we hosted a local farmer here in our church so he could bring his vegetables to Midlanders invested in sustainable agriculture and local farming. Last week, we sponsored a symposium on education about transgender issues. Over 100 people attended the two-day event, counselors, lawyers, and community residents who now have more awareness and tools to support transgender people here in the Permian Basin. Nothing like that has been done before here. As Harry said, last night our church sponsored an evening on immigration. We spoke of compassion, of interdependence, of education that defeats the rampant misinformation. So this kind of ongoing work is one way we live out our faith together as a church in the world. And it's not only about those big events. We live out our faith moment to moment and day to day. So it's clear, faith must include works. But let us not forget that works must also include faith. That's the message of the poem Faithless Works by Reverend Dr. John Perkupono Kwong. She says, "They say faith without works is dead. So I worked for equality, next to my queer friends who wanted to get married. And I worked for religious freedom next to my Muslim friends who were accused of being terrorists. And I worked for racial justice next to my Black friends whose lives were affected by police brutality. Yet I didn't feel fully alive even after working myself to death, until I let my work become a spiritual practice. Until I let go of my attachment to the outcome. Until I stopped chasing after issues, one after another. I still believe faith without works is dead. But works without faith is just as lifeless." So in the work of living a faith-filled life, we embrace a rhythm of moving between the poles of action and contemplation. Let's see if I can make that slide. There we go. Indeed, the Catholic teacher Richard Rohr founded the Center for Action and Contemplation, and I studied there for a month after college. I was a burnt-out activist at the time, and I was seeking rounding. I went there for the contemplative piece. But of course, I found that it must be a rhythm. You cannot go deep into one without going deep into the other. So Richard Rohr says the following about developing a faith that nourishes participation in the world. And he uses God language, but I think non-theists can do their own translation. He says, "God refuses to be known intellectually. God can only be loved and known and the act of love. God can only be experienced in communion. Love is like a living organism, an active force field upon which we can rely, from which we can draw, and we can allow to pass through us. I'm afraid you can believe doctrines to be true and not enjoy such a radical confidence in love or God at all. I have met many such merely intellectual believers. So, in closing, to cultivate a serious Unitarian Universalist faith, a faith that makes a difference in our lives and in the world, we must continually embrace this rhythm between action and contemplation. On the contemplative side, we nurture spiritual practices that ground us, that connect us to that in which we trust. It can be meditation, silence, deep conversation, writing, being in nature. Those practices and others give us the nourishment to move more fully into the world, to live out our faith. And that work brings us back into our spiritual practice and on and on. And in this rhythm, back and forth, we soon find that we have become that motion. We find that everything is one. It's good to be doing this work together, diving into our faith, getting serious about this holy task of living. May it be so.